here to the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. Jared Stillman live today from Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Jets tonight. The big one, baby. GM, how are you today?
Outstanding.
Good.
Doing well.
Good. So tonight, we got two big things to get to, right? We got this and we got the Titans offensive coordinator search to get to. We'll cover them both right here. And, of course, like we always do, we'll take your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. So, you know, I've always told you that morning skate is not, generally speaking, a time for me. You know, I go to morning skate when it's a big game. Just like when I used to work in New Hampshire and I covered the Boston Celtics, Stephen A. Smith would show up for a big game. So, like, if LeBron and the Heat were in town, Stephen A. was there. The Knicks, at this point, with Carmelo were good, Stephen A. would be there when they played the Celtics. But Stephen A. was not coming for a Thursday night game against the Toronto Raptors. That just wasn't what Stephen A. Smith was going to do. And I feel like I'm the same way when I go to morning skate. I am not going to morning skate if it's not a big game. Tonight, our today, I was at morning skate today, had to talk to the players, had to talk to the coach, had to get the ideas about what's going on in a big game today like the Winnipeg Jets. And it's funny because you talk to the players, you talk to the coach, you get this sense of, well, you know, of course it's a big game because it's a division game and they're a rival and they're, you know, played in the playoffs last year and have great history and da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da. And it was funny because I was listening to the Canadian media talk today. And you know what they were talking about?
No clue.
They were talking about, I just wish these players would come out and these coaches would just come out and say, yeah, we know we're playing them in the second round, so today we're trying to figure things out, because that's what this is about. And that's the truth. The truth is this is a second-round matchup waiting to happen. You will play Winnipeg in the second round. Ian, please go ahead and put this on the list of guarantees.
Whoa.
And I do not guarantee very often now, do I? How many guarantees on the list do we have this year? Not very many.
I believe maybe two.
Okay. Go ahead and put this on the list.
Different from calling it. We must make that clear.
Yes. Calling it is one step short of guaranteeing it. It's like an executive order compared to a law passed by Congress. This is a law passed by Congress. You will play the Winnipeg Jets in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. End of story. I know it. You know it. The coaches know it. The players know it. The Winnipeg media knows it. Everybody knows it. You will play the Winnipeg Jets in the second round of the playoffs. That's just the reality of it. So, with that in mind, what do we look at tonight's game meaning when, even if you win or lose, game one will be played against Winnipeg 4 months from now?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I mean, I think you look at this game two or three different ways. You look at it as a fan, in which case you are as excited as you can be. This is as exciting a game as we'll play. And when it's all said and done, you may be in first and you may not be in first, but it's going to be close. You'll be right up there either way. I think if you look at it as a player, I think you're probably eager to play it because you know that you're going to see these guys again later on and that you want to go in and learn as much as you can about your opponent. And, you know, let's don't forget the two or three guys we always pay attention to, that's fine. But don't forget, let's look at, you know, that fourth line guy, and let's look at the, you know, the second or third pairing on D. Let's look at different people, get a good feel for them. I think if you're a coach, because of what you just said, this is a zero-sum game. Mm-hmm. The coach will stand up in front of the team and say exactly the same thing tomorrow, whether you win or lose. If you win, you're going to say, you know what, really nice win, guys, way to go. But don't get too excited. We got to play, you know, we're going to have to play these guys later on. If you lose, you go in there and say, sorry, guys, we lost, but we played our butt off, and we're going to get them again later on, and we will show them then. So I think you look at it several different angles, but if you're a fan, I mean, this is – you are thrilled. You are wet in the bed waiting for this one.
So I think that it's – I think you're right. I think you hit it spot on. I mean, I asked Philip Forsberg the question earlier today about how much they took away from when they played late in the season last year to, you know, where, you know, remember those games against Winnipeg last year at the end of the season? Those were like, you know, because it was you and them neck and neck for not only first in the division, but first in the standings for the whole league. And there was a game up there. You had just traded for Ryan Hartman, and you had just added him onto the roster, and he went up there and scored the game-winning goal in a 6-5 game, and you ended up winning that. And then I had this big takeaway the next day. I felt, you know, deep down inside, I was like, okay, that game told me that the Preds can go to Winnipeg in a crazy hostile game. They were down, I think, 3 goals at one point and came back and won that game. Like, that they can do those kind of things at Winnipeg, and all they'll have to do is win one game like that, because if they win one game at Winnipeg, there's no way they'll lose more home games, and they will beat them in the playoffs. And then we got to the playoffs, and absolutely none of that mattered. You know, it didn't matter that you beat Michael Hutchinson here in March or April or whenever it was. And so does tonight matter in terms of when you play them in the playoffs? No, it doesn't. But for some reason, to me, there is something to this when you match up with a team that, you know, I always think in sports, you know, you brought this up a lot on Tuesday, when you play a team, and who does it mean more to? You know, does beating the Washington Capitals mean more to the Nashville Predators than losing to the Nashville Predators mean to the Washington Capitals? Probably. You know, like when the Titans played the Patriots, did it mean more to the Titans to beat the Patriots than it did for the Patriots to lose to the Titans? Probably. Well, I can tell you that when Nashville plays Winnipeg, there is no, you know, does it mean more to Nashville? Does it mean more to Winnipeg? Does it? There is none of that there, because it means just the same to each side, because they don't like each other. Now, the one thing that makes it tough for me to look at today and be like, playoff preview game is Dustin Byfuglien's out for Winnipeg, and Dustin Byfuglien is not a minor piece to the Winnipeg Jets. You know, Dustin Byfuglien is, in my opinion, probably he's not their best player by any means, and he's not their captain, but he's their leader. He is the guy who, like, if you're going to beat the Winnipeg Jets, you're going to have to out-tough Dustin Byfuglien. You're going to have to knock him down. You're going to have to, you know, he's one of those kind of guys. So he's out, and that kind of, you know, takes away a little bit. But for some reason, we talk about measuring stick games all the time. This Jets game feels like a big-time measuring stick game. And the one thing I will say is they have so many games in hand that if you start losing the games that you have with them, you may never catch up to first place in the Central Division.
Right. I mean, I think the question is, does it matter? You know what? You're going to make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. We already know that. Okay, good. Then you say, all right, then does it matter if we finish first or second? Well, who do we have to play the second series?
Winnipeg.
You got to play Winnipeg. So it doesn't matter if we finish first or second. Okay.
Except that is if you are of the belief that home ice does not matter.
Well, I think we kind of learned that last year.
Okay, but you've lost playoff games. Now, and this is funny because Crispy and I had this conversation this morning. Are we being too reactive when we just brush off home ice because of what happened last year? And, you know, think about it. You've lost home games in the NFL in the playoffs before.
Sure.
Doesn't mean that home field's not important to you.
Well, yeah, but sports are different. I mean, in football, home field is a factor. Because in home, I mean, you know what, we hear home ice all the time is not much of a factor from the hockey people. You know, now, does that mean you'd rather play on the road than play at home? No, it doesn't mean that. But it's not like, you know, if you're Seattle and you ask them where they want to play a football game, oh, they want to play it in Seattle now.
Denver?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of torn. You know, I'm on both sides of the home ice equation. I don't think it's the end-all, be-all. I mean, I'd rather the Preds have lost a couple more games when they were hurt, because then it would, you know, at the end of the season, make them play harder, because I'm worried that they're going to do what they did last year, where they just kind of put it into, you know, easy drive, and all of a sudden got into the Punch and Judy series and weren't playing hard, and then next thing you know, you're losing game one to Winnipeg, and that set the whole thing in motion for you to not win the Cup last year.
Well, I think I was listening a little bit to Willie and Darren before they took off. And I thought they hit something really interesting from the standpoint that, I mean, this rivalry is really young and really just kind of sprouting out of a year or so. But it's in a position to really grow and grow and grow. I mean, you know, this might be a rivalry for a number of years. So I think from that standpoint, you know, I mean, I think if you say, okay, who's the longest rivalry team that they've faced over since they've been the Preds, you know, they probably go to Detroit or Chicago or whatever. But if you're talking about who's the rivalry team right now, I mean, there's no doubt but that it's Winnipeg in my mind.
Yeah, but I think that whole discussion, like, I don't care about that. You know what I mean? Like, the whole thing about who, you know, like, Chicago a rival anymore?
To
me, this is like the SEC West, who's ever good is whoever hates each other.
Yeah, but my point being that even though this is not the longest or maybe the most intense rivalry we've ever had, it's on the verge of being a rivalry for a number of years.
So, like, I think about this. Like, who's the Dallas Cowboys rival? It's whoever's good in the NFC East. Like, if Philadelphia is the second best team in the NFC East, then the Cowboys hate the Eagles the most. If it's the Redskins, they hate them. If it's the Giants, they hate them. I kind of feel like that's what the Central Division is. I don't get too caught up into that. I know what you mean, but I don't get too caught up in that. The other thing I don't get too caught up in, and by the way, Preds and Jets on the table, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. How big of a game is it tonight? 615-737-1025. The other thing that I want to get to is the Titans offensive coordinator search. PaulKaharsky.com reporting that Arthur Smith, the tight ends coach, is on the short list of candidates. And that's really the only information that's gotten out one way or another. And I don't know how much of a, like I don't know how much news that is, that Arthur Smith is on the short list of candidates. Like, did they interview him for the job? I don't know. But that is what's out there. So, I mean, I think the Titans, I think this is how John Robinson and Mike Vrabel want to do things. They're not going to tell you what you want to know. And so, to me, I don't look at, like, one shred of information and jump up and down thinking that, okay, this is the key to the puzzle, and Arthur Smith's going to be the next offensive coordinator, and that means that such – every time I see something come out, I try to think of, like, why is that out there? Like, why is it out there that Arthur Smith is on the short list of candidates?
Well, I mean, if you're going to take anybody on the staff and say, okay, who's going to be the guy most likely, it'd probably be Arthur.
Why?
I mean, he's been here the longest. They know him the best. I mean, he's been here for, what, 5, 6, 7 years?
Yeah, but why does that matter when you got a new coach?
Well, because what's an outstanding characteristic in any of the others?
Knowing your – oh, any of the other coaches on
there?
Yeah. Well, I go back to what you've been saying the whole time about how you don't think that the offensive coordinator's on the staff.
That's – and I for me, that would still be true. Arthur Smith to me is
– I think they're just putting that out there because they don't want Arthur to get
Arthur,
away.
No, I mean, I think if you're going – if you just sit back and look to the list, you said, okay – which one of these guys would be the likely candidate of the group? I mean, in my mind, Arthur would be that guy.
Well, what's the best unit on the offense? They're tight ends.
Well, and he's been here the longest. They know him. I mean, all that stuff. I think he's, you know, J-Rob has been exposed to him by far the most. And so I think that's all part of it. But, again, that would be speculative. If you didn't know anything, you just looked at a list and said, okay, which one do you think? Oh. I'd say probably Arthur Smith.
Well, no, if you don't know anything, everyone goes to the quarterback's coach. Everyone just points to him, and because they think that if you're not a quarterback's coach, you can't be a quarterback.
All right, if you're a football guy and you don't know anything.
Okay, there you go.
How about that?
But it's funny because fans just go to quarterback coaches. They don't think, like, you don't think receivers coaches can be offensive coordinators? You don't think running back coaches can be offensive coordinators? I mean, anybody can be an offensive – anybody except for, like, defensive quality control can be your offensive coordinator. But – fans don't know that. They think it's just like you have to be a quarterback coach to be an offensive coordinator or a quarterback coach to be a head coach.
Yeah. I don't know why, but there's truth to that.
You think there is truth or not truth?
I think there's truth to that speculation.
That's what fans think.
Yeah. I mean, fans will look at it and go, who's the quarterback coach? Who's the offensive coordinator? Who's the quarterback coach?
All right, let's take your phones. 615-737-1025. Big game tonight, Preds and Jets. Floyd brought up an interesting kind of aside that he was discussing about big games and how he evaluates players. So how would he do that with Preds and Jets? And I talked to Peter Laviolette about that today. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Coach, how exciting is it to have Winnipeg, a team that's at the top of the standings with you guys? good game for us. It's a big game. You know, I think that there's certainly more built into it, and the fact that we played each other in the playoff series, and both teams have had a lot of success in the regular season, and certainly in the standings this year. I think that when you play a team that's in your division, it's always a big game. When you play a team that's at the top of division, it even puts more of an emphasis on it.
Peter Laviolette earlier today. Floyd, you heard Peter talk about top of the division and all of that when he's talking about Winnipeg. Do you care more as a GM, a personnel kind of guy? Do you care more when watching tonight's game about, you know, the fact that if you win, you're both tied with 62 points, or, you know, in that division race? Or do you worry more about, okay, can Rocco Grimaldi, who didn't play last year against the Winnipeg Jets, could you trust Rocco Grimaldi to go toe-to-toe with the Winnipeg Jets in his own end in a playoff series?
Well, you're certainly concerned about that, but I think, you know, your gut feeling is that this is, you know, this is not going to be a game for the down-the-line guys. You know, the guy, generally speaking, on good teams, the guys that win or lose the game are usually the good players. You know, the guys go out and they really, Pekka shuts them out.
Or Pekka loses you the game, like,
yeah,
game seven.
And I think from their standpoint, it's usually, you know, a guy or two in the you know, first line, second line, whatever you, however you want to classify it.
Although Colton Sissons did drop in 3 goals for you to get to the Stanley Cup final. So there
I'm sure it happens. I mean, you know, there's always that night. But I think the question is, okay, if you play him 10 times, how many times is Colton Sissons going to, you know, throw you a hat trick? Well, probably not very many. So
let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mike, who's going to kick us off today on the Preds and Jets. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good to hear you. Hey, when you talk about rivalries and the Jets, I've got to say that, you know, for me personally, the Jets are a very competitive rivalry. But when we talk about rivalries, like when we're talking about
Mike,
the Blackhawks.
Why do you care about that?
I don't really care about the rivalry. What I'm getting at is with the Blackhawks, it's an emotional rivalry. It's hatred. I almost can't stand to go to the game. I'm nervous all day before I go to the game. I don't want to sit. I don't want any of them near me when I'm sitting there in the game. I mean, that's a rivalry. But tonight is a very big game with the Jets. They're in our division, and we need a win.
Thank you for your call, Mike. I guess I just don't feel that way about sports teams. You know what I mean? Like, I look at the Winnipeg Jets like I used to look at the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I disliked the Ravens a lot more back then because they had some real bad guys on that team. But, like, I look at the Jets like I looked at the Ravens. When you were a Titans fan like I was at, you know, 11 years old and the Ravens were beating you in the playoffs and going to the Super Bowl and winning your Super Bowl, and then the next year and you know, 2 years later, you're in the playoffs against them again. And then in 2008, you're in the playoffs against them again. And you beat the Ravens, and the Ravens beat you. And that, like, I hated the Ravens. Now, I don't care about the Ravens. Like, I mean, I think they're a decent team. Like, I don't look anything into them one way or another. I don't. It's like the Blackhawks. Like, we talked about this last week when they went to the Blackhawks and won. Like, they don't feel like the Blackhawks anymore because they stink. They're like the worst team in the league. They don't even feel like the Blackhawks anymore. Like,
that's
how can you be nervous all day before a Blackhawk game? They're horrible.
That's why this rivalry, this competitiveness between these two teams has a chance to be big, because it's got a chance to last for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, however many years. Because I think, you know, it looks like on the outside that both these teams have a chance to be pretty good for a while, which means that they're going to be, you know, playing each other a bunch. And that's why I think it's kind of exciting from that standpoint. But other than that, I mean, it's, you know, I would agree. I mean, the longer or the more intense rivalries were probably those way back when.
I think it's hard in salary cap sports to have real rivalries, because there's going to be so much. Like, when you were in Houston, the big rival was Pittsburgh, you know, but that goes back to the 70s and the 80s. Of the Steelers with Terry Bradshaw and that group against the Oilers. And, like, so to me, I think that, well, you can't have a Terry Bradshaw Steelers team anymore. You can't. You literally, in a salary cap sport outside of the New England Patriots, you can't do it. And so to me, it's always about, you know, who's good. That's why Brady-Peyton was such a great rivalry. And it didn't matter if Peyton was on the Colts or on the Broncos, but it was about who was good playing who was good. And I guess I don't get – like, this AFC Championship game on Sunday, this game has me just, I mean, excited as all get out. Because I just want to see this game. Well, the Chiefs and the Patriots aren't, like, long-time rivals.
No, they're not. They're hardly rivals at all.
Right.
You know, they don't even play each other that often. So, but it's you're talking about two of the better teams, and in my opinion, two teams that are at opposite ends of the spectrum, which makes it really interesting. So,
let's go to Josh, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Well, lovely hockey weather we've got outside today.
True.
So what I was going to say is I don't think this game is that huge. And the reason why I say that is it's one of many, and granted, I get it, it's worth the points and it's in the division. But as I recall, 2 years ago during the regular season, there was a team that beat the Predators every single game, so much so that it precipitated a radio host to guarantee that other team's victory in the first round of the playoffs.
No, I had two playoff series. Wait a minute. I had two playoff series history going into that.
But what I will say is, to that note, the Preds ended up sweeping that series. Now, granted, I have to give you this much, Jared. No one really saw that coming except maybe the Preds. But still, what that shows is the same thing that the GM always says, just give me to the playoffs. You guys take care.
So I do agree with that. Thank you for your call. I do agree with that. And it goes back to the home ice discussion that we had a little bit earlier today. And that is like, you know, 2 years ago, the Predators proved that they didn't need home ice because the first three series, they won game one each time. And they won games on visiting ice. And then they were great at home. And they went to the Cup final. Then we all got this idea that home ice mattered a lot. So it was everything last year was about home ice. Then they lose, what was it, three games to Winnipeg? Yeah, they lost three games to Winnipeg and a game to Colorado. Punch and Judy, Colorado, they lost to. And all of a sudden it was like, you know, who cares about home ice now? I think the reality is somewhere in between. Like, I do think it kind of matters. I just don't think it's like, you know, if you get it, you're definitely going to win kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was our focus last year. You know, the excuse for not winning the Cup the year before was because we couldn't get home ice. And so what's important? Well, it's important to get that home ice. Okay, let's get the home ice. Then we got the home ice and we realized that, that didn't work. Okay, so what's really important? It's, you know, something else.
Well, it's like if you're trying to lose weight and someone convinces you to not eat cookies for breakfast, so you stop eating cookies for breakfast but you can't lose any weight, then, you know, it's probably much bigger than cookies for breakfast. But it doesn't mean that cookies for breakfast is a good idea, even though cookies for breakfast does sound good. We cannot have a long Preds conversation without Brenda joining the show. Brenda is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Brenda.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in on the Winnipeg game tonight. When I see us against Winnipeg, I cringe a little bit because Winnipeg is so good. They have Laine. Look who they have back. I can't help who's out. I know that we're looking really good and our guys are looking really good. But it just makes me cringe just a little bit. I still believe that we can carry it. And home ice or out ice, somebody else's ice, that doesn't matter. We got to get there.
So this tells me, thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda.
This tells me that the Predators are in real trouble against Winnipeg.
Because Brenda called?
I've never heard Brenda worried about another team ever. I mean, I don't think she was worried about the New England Patriots. I don't think she was worried about the Blackhawks. I don't think she was worried about the Penguins. I don't think she was worried about Winnipeg last year. I've never heard Brenda be worried about the other team.
I think she realizes how good Winnipeg is, and we know that. Everybody knows that. And so that's going to make it – I mean, it would be – this is going to be a great game, and it would be a great game if it was played on Mars. You know, I mean, it was – you got two legitimate teams here, and they're going to, you know, play one more time.
More your calls. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And it's funny listening to everybody talk about these two teams because everybody is convinced that they're the same as they were last year. I'm not sure if I feel that way, but we'll get into that coming up next as we are live here at Bridgestone Arena. Again, Preds and Jets tonight. Boy, let me tell you about how great my friends at Authentically American are. Authentically American, if you're a business owner, you need to think about them for your business needs. That's right. We're talking about clothes. We're talking about polos and jackets and shirts and socks and vests and Oxfords and much, much more. And everything with Authentically American is made in the USA. This is a company founded by veterans, and they donate 10% of all sales to veteran charities and our American heroes. So if you're a business owner or you're the person who makes that decision for your business and you want a made in America quality, you got to go with Authentically American. They have loaded to no minimum so that small business owner or the big business owner can support Made in the USA. It's online at authenticallyamerican.us. Authenticallyamerican.us. That's Authentically American at authenticallyamerican.us. Jared and Floyd, CSP at 102.5 The Game. How much do you look at the your guys to maybe on an individual level versus their guys on an individual level with maybe the future in mind? When you're kind of seeing who can go up against who or who can win a battle with who?
You know, both these teams are pretty much the same. I think we've already danced that dance. And we know what they got. We know how they play. They know what we've got. And they know, you know, it's both ways. The systems and the players, like, everything's already on the table. For me, it comes down to probably more than anything the energy and the execution of either team that could be the difference. You know, it could be specialty teams that could be the difference. So, I don't think there's any secrets here. I don't think we're gonna learn anything tonight. I just think it's gonna be a good hockey game.
Oh, that makes me nervous. Peter Laviolette earlier today. I don't like the sound of that because he's pretty much saying, "Hey, you know, this is just like last year. These are the same teams." And you know, every now and then that's good. And you see that in sports where a team that, you know, loses one year, they go up again the next year. And I think back to the Braves and the Pirates in the early 90s. I think to Indianapolis and New England, where New England beat them in the AFC title game in New England to go to the Super Bowl and win that. And then 2 years later, Indianapolis beats New England and Indy to go to the Super Bowl and win that. And, like, that's always good. But I don't like that because I felt like the Jets were the better team last year. And if it's all the same, then that makes me a little nervous. And we had Chris Mason on the show yesterday, Fox Sports Tennessee analyst, and he echoed the similar thoughts that Peter Laviolette had.
These teams are pretty similar to last year in terms of the way that they play personnel. They've got a lot of the same core guys back. So obviously two top teams doesn't mean the outcome's going to be the same, though. It's that's yet to be determined. I felt, you know, how the season went for the Predators. I felt they kind of limped into playoffs last year just because they had the President's Trophy wrapped up a few games early, you know, kind of relaxed, I think, and you could see it in the Colorado series that carried over into that Jets series. But it's a different year. There's so much time ahead, but they're pretty similar teams. Two top teams, you're going to get those types of games.
Floyd, if they are the same as last year, as the coach said, Chris Mason said, if these two teams are similar, does that make you feel good about the possibility of playing them in the playoffs, or does it make you nervous? Because I think it'd be very hard to argue that the Predators were the better team last year in the playoff series.
Well, I'm looking at it from this standpoint. I think these two teams went down to game seven and we didn't win it, but that's, you know, about as even as you can get. And I don't think, you know, during that series, we would all say that, you know, Pekka played his best. I mean, I think we're all convinced he can play a lot better than that. And consequently, if you say, okay, you know, give us that improved Pekka and keep everything the same, you know, we probably end up winning the thing.
So I would say yes and no to that. And here's the two sides of the object for me. Number one, Yossi and Ellis were terrible in the series. That did not get talked about enough at the time. But they were and not only were they terrible, but they were just manhandled by those big bodies of Winnipeg. And that's the one thing that makes, like, I think any team in any sport, and this is why taller guys always get drafted and bigger guys always, you know, it's like that. That's why Arvidsson goes in the fourth round and Ryan Johansson goes fourth overall, is the bigger, stronger guys always give you a better chance no matter what.
Good big guys always beat the good little guys.
Always. And that's why basketball, football, every sport. they're so big and physical and tough and strong and skilled, and they're just so good. And it's like I look at it and I'm like, you know, Fiala, Smith, and Turris, they were horrible in the series. Yossi and Ellis were horrible in the series. Was it the fact that they didn't play well in the series? Like, after the series was over, Turris took the blame for how poorly he played. Or is it that Winnipeg made them play horribly because Winnipeg's just too good? And that's where I'm like, because even though Ryan Hartman's an improved player from this year to last year, Ryan Hartman was a no factor in the playoffs last year, except for when he was trying to help Colorado win that one game. Even though he's an improved player from last year to this year, is Ryan Hartman really going to be the difference between you beating Winnipeg or not beating Winnipeg? Probably not. So if they're similar, that kind of makes me more nervous about the idea.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
guys,
I think you probably have to look at it the other way and just say, well, what if all those guys play regular stuff? You know, they don't have a down series. You talk about 5, 6, 7 guys. Well, maybe you're obviously better. But the thing that always happens, and this is why it's always the type of discussions always bother me, because we only look at our team. You know, we don't go through and look at them and say, well, you know, this guy didn't have play well, that guy
line
didn't
a
play
scored
well.
Like
this
one guy goal in did. The series.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not going to play them in a best of seven and line A score once.
So, I mean, I think they've got the same argument on their side. And I mean, the truth is, I think these two teams really are pretty well matched, you know, pretty well balanced. And I think we're going to see, we're going to see great game tonight. And I think we'll probably see great play throughout the playoffs and I think for years to come.
Does your heart tell you, like my heart tells me, like I heard the Canadian media talking about today, like you just got that vibe from the players today, you get the vibe from the coach that these two teams know they're going to see each other again?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, I don't think – now, they may not know it. But do they think there's a giant possibility? Sure. I mean, I think that's and you know, they don't alter anything they're doing because of that. But by the same token, I mean, I think you approach these more with focus than just, okay, let's win and get out of here. Let's win and get back home. Let's win and, you know, get on to the next game. Because you talk about players and some players write up notebooks on opponents and all those kind of things. And I don't know if we have anybody that does. I'm not sure if anybody in hockey does. But if you do, you know, after a game like this tonight, you would be filling out your diary, if you will. You know, this is what I think of this guy and this is how I played him and etc. Because you know, I mean, at least if it was me, I would be thinking about, okay, this is one game, and it's going to be a fun game, but there are going to be a lot more of these over the next little bit of time.
So I think this is like the kind of the beginning of the inevitable. You know, you're going to have a game here where they play each other. You're going to have a couple games, you know, later in the season against the Winnipeg Jets, and then you get to the point where you get to the trade deadline. And I wonder how these two teams are going to work the trade deadline based upon playing each other. You know, like I do wonder how much of what they do at the deadline will be about facing the other team. You know, we see this in baseball from time to time where they'll go out and they'll get like an extra left-handed reliever because they know a team that they'll face in the playoffs has a bunch of left-handed power bats, so they'll go out and do that. And I wonder, because to me, the difference in the series, and there were a lot of differences in the series, but one of the biggest ones was what they got at the trade deadline compared to what you got at the trade deadline. Because what they got at the trade deadline was Paul Stastny, and he just ripped your rear end. And what you got was Ryan Hartman, and he was a no factor. So make of that what you will, because in this game, I feel tonight, I'm going to analyze tonight's game as a, can these guys keep up with Winnipeg? Can they beat them in a playoff series? And that's going to be at the top of my mind. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. We got some big news on the radio station front. We'll get to that, and we'll get to a lot of that. It's all coming up. We got a loaded show today. Jared and the GM, we are live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM are live at Bridgestone Arena, Preds and Jets, right here where you can listen on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, we have some big news on the radio station front today that was announced as ESPN 94.9 Game 2 for the second year in a row has reached a broadcast agreement with Nashville SC. So your English-speaking flagship home for Nashville SC on the pitch this year will be 94.9 Game 2. A very, very exciting announcement today. The games are going to be there, the fans. Now, I'll say this. I knew we talked at length about how big soccer was going to be. I was stunned by how big the support last year for Nashville SC was. And now we're now joined by technical director and the vice president of soccer operations, Mike Jacobs, from Nashville SC, and of course the Nashville MLS squad as well. So it's always good to see you, Mike. Thank you for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
So I know you got to be excited about this upcoming season. You guys in the inaugural season had a good year. You see all the different stuff that's going on. You're bringing in some MLS signings that are going to be on Nashville SC's team this year. So it feels crazy because it feels like the season just wrapped up, but it's really right around the corner. And for you guys, this has to be a really exciting year and then an exciting transition that's upcoming at the same time.
For sure. I think last year, us starting an expansion team, the opportunity for us to blaze a trail here for us in Nashville to, you know, to build a foundation going forward, not only for this next USL season this year, but, you know, for MLS in 2020 was an encouraging start for us. And, you know, in any sport, for an expansion team to get to the playoffs, you know, is really unique. And, you know, the hope for us is to build off of that, not only on the field with our team in 2019, but to build momentum in this one-year runway we have now to, you know, to move into MLS in 2020.
What is that like, you know, when you look at 2020 as the start date for an expansion team, but you have a team here, you've got guys, Cameron Lancaster, for example, you know, you've got guys that are going to be up probably on that MLS team that are going to be playing for Nashville SC. You know, how's the blend of getting that rollout ready for 2020?
Well, for us, as far as building a roster out, it's an encouraging opportunity for us to be able to sign players to MLS contracts and then loan them out to our USL team for this year. The opportunity to get them acclimated to their market. To have them here as a member of our club already. I think that really helps us on a number of different fronts for building a brand for our club as well as pursuing championships on the field.
So you could actually have a whole group of guys signed playing someplace else that all end up back in Nashville.
Yeah, you know, it's not uncommon, I think, very similar to other sports where you have players being loaned out to minor league affiliates. Right now, you know, we're a Major League Soccer franchise, but we're operating in the USL this year. So, you know, you'll find, you know, depending on how teams are populating their rosters, you could sign players and have them come right and play in a USL team. You could sign players and then loan them out to an affiliate or to a different club, you know, in our country or abroad.
Who determines that? Does the league determine that? Each individual club determine that? Or how does that work?
Each club is able to dictate what they want to do as far as the mechanisms with the roster. So, you know, for us, we looked strategically, at least with the two guys we had already signed, in Daniel Rios, who had played on loan last year in North Carolina in the USL as a 22-year-old. He's a Mexican you know, youth international, national team player for Chivas. And Chivas in Mexico is like the Yankees or Dallas Cowboys in our country. You know, so to have a player, a young prospect like that, come and do so well in USL last year in loan, for us to purchase him, you know, rather than loan him somewhere else, we want to have him here and market with us.
How long do you feel, Mike Jacobs is with us, the technical director for Nashville SC and for the MLS team. How do you feel about, you know, how long will it take? We know that expansion teams, it's never easy for an expansion team to get off the ground and running. But how long do you think until Nashville, the MLS team, is kind of in the mix with some of these other teams? We see Atlanta make a real quick rise in the MLS, and they go ahead and win the championship. For you, how do you kind of plan that out and build it so that you guys hit the ground running in 2020?
Well, you know, for us, there has to be a blend. You know, as we build the roster out, you want to have guys who can help us be competitive straight away. I think we owe it to our fans and our marketplace to make sure that we're providing a competitive product. I think sports fans here in Nashville are savvy from the standpoint. They have high expectations. I think they see teams like the Predators and the Titans, the success they've had. They expect that themselves. You know, so for us, we want to make sure that we can bring players in that can help us straight away to be competitive, pursue playoff opportunities as early as possible, but also look at it, you know, with one eye also on the future of, I think our goal is not only try to build a team that can win this year, but that sustained success.
I think it's funny because a lot of people look at it and they think, you know, they're kind of, you know, they're kind of interested in soccer. Maybe they're not a, they don't have a huge soccer background, but they see the crowds in these other cities that have really, I mean, you look at Atlanta and their crowd and what they've done for their MLS team. When you look at Nashville as a soccer market, you chose to come here. What do you see the future of this city being as far as soccer is concerned?
What's interesting for me is, so I was born and raised in New York. And, you know, I traveled around a little bit through coaching and opportunities doing what I'm doing now. I was the assistant technical director in Kansas City with their MLS franchise. And when I first got here, I could tell you, I was very, I was tell you, maybe geographically naive and not realizing, I think, what Nashville had to offer, you know, truly in regards to a destination city. And when you see the success not only on the ice of a team like the Predators, but you see the fever pitch of the fan support they have, it's amazing. And, you know, knowing that when the Predators first arrived here, trying to sell hockey, you know, in the South, you know, where traditionally you don't have kids playing on ponds, maybe like you have where I grew up in New York, you know, here in Nashville, you have first-generation soccer parents. You know, you have parents who grew up playing the game themselves, now share the game with their own kids. And there's a reason why MLS is the, you know, one of the youngest fan bases in all professional sports, because you have this burgeoning fan base all over the country growing, people that grew up playing the game. And that is the case here in Nashville. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's so popular here.
Who's, if you had to give us an example of what you hope this franchise looks like in 1, 2, 3 years, however many years, is there an established franchise out there that maybe you use as kind of a model or a role model or something to help you get organized, you know, for a path?
Yeah, for sure. And I guess what I would say too is, I mean, you know, we're going to be unique from the standpoint that, you know, as you know yourself better than anybody, probably, it's not cookie cutter as far as how you build a team or how you build a franchise. You know, but I think I was fortunate from the standpoint that before I came here to Nashville, you know, I mentioned I was the assistant general manager or technical director for Sporting Kansas City. And, you know, Sporting Kansas City in MLS is probably similar to the Patriots in football or the Spurs in basketball as far as sustained success. And, you know, it's a smaller market than Nashville. They've had over 100 sellouts, you know, in their own venue, similar to ours, building their own stadium. You know, so when you see the success they've had, not only in pursuing championships on the field, but in the way they've been able to kind of integrate themselves into that market. And, you know, during the fall, honestly, for most of the year, I mean, you know, you didn't hear about the Chiefs very much until after the Sporting Kansas City season was over.
When you look across the country, you see certain places like, right off the top of my head, I think like Seattle and like Atlanta, what Atlanta has done. And you see this just explosion of soccer. You know, maybe you weren't paying attention. Maybe you didn't expect it. You don't know. But, I mean, it's a rabid fan base. Where does that come from?
Look, you know, I think when you see the diversity of our country, I think it's important also that your teams kind of reflect and look like, you know, your own community. So when you see, you know, areas like Atlanta that have been able to draw players in, to recruit players that are exciting players offensively, that, you know, can create a lot of enthusiasm for fans, but also look like their fans. You know, they associate with them from the standpoint that, you know, in a diverse city, they have players from Paraguay and Venezuela, as well as all over the United States as well.
Mike Jacobs, the technical director of Nashville SC. Again, 94-9 Game 2 going to be your home for Nashville SC this season, the flagship English-speaking radio home. Tickets for season tickets are available for as low as $10 a game. And, of course, Mike has been hard at work. So you don't need to wait until 2020 because they've already got MLS contract players on the USL team this year. And I've decided I think I should hold you guys responsible for a championship this year. So I'm looking for a championship, Mike. I'm kidding.
You know, I was trying to under-promise and over-deliver.
There you go. It's something like that. I knew at some point I was going to do that. I was going to say, you know what? I want a championship, and I want an MLS Cup by 2025. But I'm just kidding about that. But it should be a lot of fun, and we are excited to partner with Nashville SC once again. And honestly, you know, for somebody that grew up here who didn't watch hockey before the Predators got here, who, you know, I lived in Louisville when Louisville City FC got started there, and now I see they've won 2 championships, and the city is abuzz about it. And I saw what happened last year from the jump with packed games at First Tennessee Park and great crowds at Nissan Stadium. I'm just kind of excited to see how it all comes together, you know, both on the pitch and then in the community and everything else. And I know that the ownership and that the management at Nashville SC is as dedicated to this community as we are, and so that's always important. So, Mike, it's always good to see you. And just know that I may have to get on you at some point in the future.
Look forward to it. Thanks.
All right, good. The technical director of Nashville SC, Mike Jacobs, here with us. And again, ESPN 94.9 Game 2 going to be your English-speaking radio home for Nashville SC this season once again. Season tickets, as I just said, are available for as low as $10 a game. And, of course, a very exciting preseason game coming up February 22nd, right around the corner at First Tennessee Park against New York City FC, which is an upper-tier MLS team, kind of similar to when Atlanta, who ended up winning the championship, when they came here last year. By the way, I'm expecting us to win that game, too. So I'm just, you know, throwing that out. I'm just giving you a hard time, Mike. Good to see you, as always. Thanks again and again. We couldn't be prouder to be partnered with Nashville SC.
Thanks a lot.
Welcome to the family.
Jared and the GM. Coming up next, Mel Kiper Jr., has released his first mock draft. Who does he have the Titans taking? And it's a position that doesn't make a lot of sense. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game.